chapter 25, the organs of digestion, physiology of the digestive system. The stomach has a controlling power upon the health of the body. Anything that is taken into the stomach and converted into blood becomes a part of the being. The benefit you derive from your food does not depend so much on the quantity eaten as on its thorough digestion, nor on the gratification of the taste so much on the amount of food swallowed as on the length of time it remains in the mouth. Eat slowly and allow the saliva to mingle with the food. Those who are excited, anxious, or in a hurry cannot supply the necessary gastric juice. Thorough mastication is a benefit both to the teeth and to the stomach. You are a nervous dyspeptic. The brain is closely connected with the stomach, and its power has so often been called to aid the weakened digestive organs that it is in its turn weakened, depressed, congested. It is important that we relish the food we eat. If we cannot do this but eat mechanically, we fail to be nourished and build up as we would be if we could enjoy the food we take into the stomach. Immediately after eating, there is a strong draft upon the nervous energy. The brain force is called into active exercise to assist the stomach. Therefore, when the mind or body is taxed heavily after eating, the process of digestion is hindered. The vitality of the system, which is needed to carry on the work in one direction, is called away and set to work in another. The stomach, when we lie down to rest, should have its work all done, that it may enjoy rest as well as other portions of the body. The work of digestion should not be carried on through any period of the sleeping hours. After the stomach, which has been overtaxed, has performed its task, it becomes exhausted, which causes faintness. The stomach becomes weary by being kept constantly at work. Having no time to rest, the digestive organs become enfeebled, hence the sense of goneness and desire for frequent eating. The stomach must have its regular periods for labor and rest. Causes of indigestion. The stomach has a controlling power upon the health of the entire body. The brain nerves are in strong sympathy with the stomach. Many are willingly ignorant of their own structure. They lead their children in the same path of selfish indulgence which they have followed, causing them to suffer the penalty of the transgression of nature's laws. They go to distant countries to seek a better climate, but their stomachs will create for them a malarious atmosphere wherever they may locate. They bring upon themselves sufferings that no one can alleviate. In order to have healthy digestion, food should be eaten slowly. Those who wish to avoid dyspepsia and those who realize their obligation to keep all their powers in the condition which will enable them to render the best service to God will do well to remember this. If your time to eat is limited, do not bolt your food, but eat less and eat slowly. Those who are excited, anxious, or in a great hurry would do well not to eat until they have found rest or relief, for the vital powers already severely taxed cannot supply the necessary gastric juice. Eat slowly and allow the saliva to mingle with the food. Food should not be washed down. No drink is needed with meals. The more liquid there is taken into the stomach with meals, the more difficult it is for the food to digest, for the liquid must first be absorbed. Many make a mistake in drinking cold water with their meals. Taken with meals, water diminishes the flow of the salivary glands, and the colder the water, the greater the injury to the stomach. Iced water or iced lemonade, drunk with meals, will arrest digestion until the system has imparted sufficient warmth to the stomach to enable it to take up its work again. Hot drinks are debilitating, and besides, those who indulge in their use become slaves to the habit. But if anything is needed to quench thirst, pure water drunk some little time before or after the meal is all that nature requires. Never take tea, coffee, beer, wine, or any spirituous liquor. Water is the best liquid possible to cleanse the tissues. Soups, puddings, and other articles of the kind are often eaten too hot, and as a consequence, the stomach is debilitated. Let them become partly cool before they are eaten. To eat largely of porridge would not ensure health to the digestive organs, for it is too much like liquid. For those who can use them, good vegetables prepared in a healthful manner are better than soft mushes or porridge. A second meal should never be eaten until the stomach has had time to rest from the labor of digesting the preceding meal. After the stomach has done its work for one meal, do not crowd more work upon it before it has had a chance to rest and to provide a sufficient supply of gastric juice for the next meal. 5 hours at least should be given between each meal, and always bear in mind that if you would give it a trial, you would find that two meals would be better than three. If a third meal be eaten at all, it should be light and several hours before going to bed. But with many, the poor, tired stomach may complain of weariness in vain. More food is forced upon it, which sets the digestive organs in motion again to perform the same round of labor through the sleeping hours. The sleep is generally disturbed with unpleasant dreams, and in the morning they awake unrefreshed. There's a sense of languor and loss of appetite. A lack of energy is felt through the entire system. In a short time, the digestive organs are worn out, for they have had no time to rest. Such persons become miserable dyspeptics and wonder what has made them so. The cause has brought the sure result. If this practice is indulged in a great length of time, the health will become seriously impaired. The blood becomes impure, the complexion sallow, and eruptions will frequently appear. You will often hear complaints of frequent pains and soreness in the region of the stomach, and while performing labor, the stomach becomes so tired that they are obliged to desist from work and rest. They seem to be at a loss to account for this state of things, for setting this aside, they are apparently healthy. After the stomach, which has been overtaxed, has performed its task, it is exhausted, which causes faintness. Here many are deceived and think it is the want of food that produces such feelings, and without giving the stomach time to rest, they take more food, which for the time removes the faintness. The stomach becomes weary by being kept constantly at work, disposing of food not the most healthful. Having no time for rest, the digestive organs become enfeebled, hence the sense of goneness and desire for frequent eating. Gluttonous feasts and food taken into the stomach at untimely seasons leave an influence upon every fiber of the system. The less that condiments and desserts are placed upon our tables, the better it will be for all who partake of the food. All mixed and complicated foods are injurious to the health of human beings. Dumb animals would never eat such a mixture as is often placed in the human stomach. Rich and complicated mixtures of food are health-destroying. Because it is the fashion, in harmony with morbid appetite, rich cakes, pies, puddings, and every hurtful thing are crowded into the stomach. The table must be loaded down with variety, or the depraved appetite cannot be satisfied. In the morning, these slaves to appetite often have impure breath and a furred tongue. They do not enjoy health and wonder why they suffer with pains, headaches, and various ills. The cause has brought the sure result. If we would preserve the best health, we should avoid eating vegetables and fruit at the same meal. If the stomach is feeble, there will be distress. The brain will be confused and unable to put forth mental effort. Have fruit at one meal and vegetables at the next. I frequently sit down at the tables of the brethren and sisters and see that they use a great amount of milk and sugar. These clog the system, irritate the digestive organs, and affect the brain. Anything that hinders the active motion of the living machinery affects the brain very directly, and from the light given me, sugar, when largely used, is more injurious than meat. Nearly all members of the human family eat more than the system requires. This excess decays and becomes a putrid mass. If more food, even of a simple quality, is placed in the stomach than the living machinery requires, this surplus becomes a burden. The system makes desperate efforts to dispose of it, and this extra work causes a tired feeling. Some who are continually eating call this all-gone feeling hunger. but it is caused by the overworked condition of the abused digestive organs. They, ministers, students, and so forth, closely apply their minds to books and eat the allowance of a laboring man. Under such habits, some grow corpulent because the system is clogged. Others become feeble, lean, and weak because their vital powers are exhausted in throwing off the excess of food. The liver becomes burdened and unable to throw off the impurities in the blood, and sickness as a result. Often this intemperance is felt at once in the form of headache and indigestion and colic. A load has been placed upon the stomach that it cannot care for, and a feeling of oppression comes. The head is confused, the stomach is in rebellion, but these results do not always follow overeating. In some cases the stomach is paralyzed. No sensation of pain is felt, but the digestive organs lose their vital force. The foundation of the human machinery is gradually undermined, and life is rendered very unpleasant. The power of the brain is lessened by drawing so heavily upon it to help the stomach get along with its heavy burden. The brain nerve energy is benumbed and almost paralyzed by overeating. The compression of the waist hinders the process of digestion. The heart, liver, lungs, spleen, and stomach are crowded into a small compass, not allowing room for the healthful action of these organs. When the extremities are not properly clad, the blood is chilled back from its natural course and thrown upon the internal organs, breaking up the circulation and producing disease. The stomach has too much blood, causing indigestion. Intemperance in eating, even of food of the right qualities, will have a prostrating influence upon the system. Strict temperance in eating and drinking is highly essential for the healthy preservation and vigorous exercise of all the functions of the body. Intemperance commences at our tables in the use of unhealthful food. After a time, through continued indulgence, the digestive organs become weakened, and the food taken does not satisfy the appetite. Unhealthy conditions are established, and there's a craving for more stimulating food. Helpful suggestions as to treatment. The stomach must have its regular periods for labor and rest. With regular habits and proper food, the stomach will gradually recover. Effort should be made to preserve carefully the remaining strength of the vital forces by lifting off every overtasking burden. The stomach may never fully recover health, but a proper course of diet will save further debility, and many will recover more or less unless they have gone too far in gluttonous self-murder. A second meal should never be eaten until the stomach has had time to rest from the labor of digesting the preceding meal. The stomach becomes weary by being kept constantly at work. The remedy such require is to eat less frequently and less liberally, and be satisfied with plain, simple food, eating twice or at most three times a day. The stomach must have careful attention. It must not be kept in continual operation. Give this misused and much abused organ some peace and quiet rest. Exercise will aid the work of digestion. To walk out after a meal, hold the head erect. Put back the shoulders and exercise moderately will be a great benefit. The diseased stomach will find relief by exercise. He has not had the vitalizing air of heaven to help in the work of digestion. Pure, fresh air excites the appetite, renders the digestion of food more perfect, and induces sound, sweet sleep. Bathing helps the bowels, stomach, and liver, giving energy and new life to each. It also promotes digestion, and instead of the systems being weakened, it is strengthened. The less the attention is called to the stomach after a meal, the better. If you are in constant fear that your food will hurt you, it most assuredly will. Forget self and think of something cheerful. At mealtime, cast off all care and taxing thought. Do not be hurried, but eat slowly and with cheerfulness, your heart filled with gratitude to God for all His blessings. You eat too much, and then you are sorry, and so you keep thinking upon what you eat and drink. Just eat that which is for the best, and go right away feeling clear in the sight of heaven, and not having remorse of character.